Today, the attempted communist takeover of our republic continues with the latest scheme to pack the Supreme Court. Yet two people you would not expect think it's a bad idea. Ted Cruz slams the Biden administration for illegal aid to the Palestinians. Our favorite medical dictator is at it again. And what's the roadmap for the Great Reset? All of this and more on this week's edition of World News Brief. And welcome to this week's April 13th, 2021 edition of World News Brief on the CGMRadio.com network. I am your host, Winston R. Holland. Thrilled, elated to be with you, as always, to bring you the top news from around the world. Before we jump in, make sure to subscribe to the show. Have you subscribed? If you haven't subscribed, why would you not subscribe? Not only to this, but to the other great shows on the CGM Radio Network. So go to cgmradio.com, click on World News Brief, subscribe there, or just do it in your favorite podcasting app. Remember, you can email me anytime, world@cgmradio.com. All right, let's jump right in. I want to apologize in advance. I had a lot of audio geared up for you guys to listen to. And with the studio that I am currently in, I'm having some technical difficulties. So I will be doing more reading and less audio. So hopefully you can handle that and my voice is not too execrable. Unlike perhaps the execrable Harry Reid, as at least he is called in this Red State article that I want to jump into. As you may have been aware, the Biden administration on Friday put out an executive order basically declaring a commission to study, supposedly bipartisan, probably as bipartisan as the Commission on Presidential Debates. But we know, of course, how that goes, right? It's only leftists that are the moderators. And of course, they're all helping Joe Biden and going after Trump as much as they can. I mean, it's absolute insanity. Nothing means what it used to mean. Science, bipartisanship, male, female, democracy. Remember, that they believe that Trump is a threat to democracy. But of course, Trump isn't a threat to democracy by simply winning an election. Threat to democracy equals threat to our rule and our complete overpowering and taking over of the United States of America, turning it into a one-party, a.k.a. communist system where they rule forever. Look, you can achieve the same goals of a communist state without a communist setup. And you can even, and what's even better, let's allow the Republicans to stay in power so that there can be this guise, this veneer of democracy, but we just stay the permanent majority. And how do we do that? We do that through election fraud. And another way we do that is through packing the courts. Now, supposedly it's not about that. As I said in the intro, there are two people you would be quite surprised to find out think it's a bad idea. One was Joe Biden himself, who, and I'm sorry I don't have that audio, but who in 1983 said that it was a boneheaded idea, that FDR had every right to do it. He had complete legality to do it. But yet he did not do it. Why? Because Biden said it was a boneheaded idea. You've probably already seen that by now, especially if you're paying attention to conservative media. But would you have expected former Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid to say the same thing in an interview with every conservative's favorite White House correspondent, now turned commentator, Jim Acosta? This is from, I saw this at redstate.com yesterday, and I had to share this with you guys. Jim Acosta asks the execrable Harry Reid about court packing, doesn't get the answer he expected. Now, they bring up something, if you remember this from the 2012 campaign, where Harry Reid goes out there and he says that Mitt Romney hasn't paid his taxes in 10 years. And they actually, and this story is linked up at CGM.news along with all the other stories I'm talking about today. But Harry Reid, after Dana Bash in 2015 interviews him about that false comment, his response at the end of the video is, well, I mean, Obama won, didn't he? It's very ends justifies the means approach. So this guy is a piece of work. I remember talking with a former colleague of mine when I worked in the highway industry, whose son actually ran for state Congress or state Senate in Nevada, and he said his son was up in that. They saw it firsthand. Harry Reid just bussing people in, and his son ended up losing that representative seat or state Senate seat. So this is where, I mean, Harry Reid, he's an operative. He is a Dem operative to the core. But what is he saying about court packing? Here's what he says, or about the commission. He says, I think that the commission is going to come back and say we should just leave it alone. I think it would be inappropriate to have term limits for judges. I think we better be very careful. So he's coming out and saying this is a bad idea. And if we remember that it was Harry Reid himself that enabled the Trump administration to appoint by majority vote only in the Senate, literally hundreds of district court, federal court, and Supreme Court justices, three Supreme Court justices. I know we've been disappointed with some of their decisions, especially when it comes to election fraud recently. But nevertheless, Trump was able to inflict upon the Democrats an unbelievable amount of at least judges and justices that lean towards the right. And that's a huge obstacle. If you're looking for a hard left communist takeover of our country, hundreds of conservative justices are not the best way to do that. But here you have Harry Reid himself coming out and saying that this is a bad idea. And I think just as it was him that employed the nuclear option to get judges in during his tenure, during Obama's reign, Republicans then, once they got into power, used that against the Democrats, and I think he's seeing the same thing here. And really, what is the logical outcome of all of this? Which is, you know, we expand it to 15 justices, and then when the Republicans get in, then they can expand it. And then Democrats can get in, and then they can expand it. And before long, you essentially have a second Congress. And this was why Democrats way back with FDR thought this was a bad idea, probably why Joe Biden in 1983 came out and said that it was a bad idea, and why Harry Reid is saying it to Jim Acosta even now, that you're creating an absolute mess. Now, historically speaking, and if you want a good history, and again, I was going to play some of this on this show, and I cannot because I simply can't get the audio to come through for you guys to be able to hear, or even for myself to be able to hear. I encourage you to listen to the first 30 minutes of the American Center for Law and Justice, their podcast yesterday. Just look up ACLJ Monday, April 12th, and listen to that. It gives a really, really good historical perspective on what happened with FDR, with the legislation that he passed. He wanted to do the very same thing of what's happening now, but was unable to because the Democrats opposed him. And I'll just briefly mention that so FDR was not successful, as we know from history, was not successful in packing the court. What Harry Hutchison in the show yesterday talked about was how the reason why FDR wanted to do this was because there was a conservative Supreme Court majority that was striking down as unconstitutional his New Deal legislation, which of course was the greatest expansion of the federal government. And as we know, and you can go back and you can look at the unemployment statistics from the 1930s, did not solve the unemployment problem. Just go and look up the Bureau of Labor Statistics, look it up. And you'll see, just look up the unemployment numbers and you'll see. What solved the unemployment problem was World War II, but of course, with that, you had a massive increase of government spending in order to do that. But what happened, even though FDR was unsuccessful in packing the court, what happened was that the court was thoroughly intimidated by the FDR administration, to the point to where after the attempted court packing happened, the court began to approve New Deal legislation and began to stop striking it down. And if you remember, in 2019, that famous and truly evil thing that Chuck Schumer did outside of the Supreme Court, basically threatening the Supreme Court that if they did not allow I forget exactly what it was that he was threatening them about, but he essentially came out and threatened the Supreme Court that if they ruled in a way that he did not like, there was going to be major blowback. And that of course is complete insanity in light of the Constitution. That is what Erdogan in Turkey would do and does. He controls those courts by intimidation, by fear, by the fact that he is a dictator. The judicial branch is supposed to be a separate but equal branch of government. The legislative branch doesn't need to intimidate the executive branch. The executive doesn't need to intimidate the judicial. They're three co-equal branches of government, which is another reason why Biden's commission on the Supreme Court, I mean, it's even going so far as saying they want to change the rules and review the rules by which the Supreme Court takes up cases, accepts or denies cases. And that is not the business of the executive branch. If it was going to be a business of another branch of government, it would be the legislative branch. So anyway, so that is what's going on. I encourage you to check out the story and listen to the audio at cgm.news. There's also a link to a great interview with Ted Cruz on that you will want to check out. All right. So I saw this fantastic article at americanthinker.com. It actually came out today. And it is the roadmap for the Great Reset, Janet Levy, today, April 13th. And it gives it's a review of a book that gives a really good overview of the Green New Deal and how the Green New Deal is actually tied in and linked to the Great Reset. So I'm just going to read some of this. You, of course, can check it out at cgm.news. But I'm reminded that she starts off reminding us of this quote by none other than Mikhail Gorbachev, which is interesting, of course, because this is a 1996 quote, just a few years off the heels of the fall of the Soviet Union. Yet, the dream, I guess Gorbachev's dream of the communist utopia was still alive and forever lived in his heart. As far back as 1996, Mikhail Gorbachev laid bare the agenda driving climate alarmism, quote, "The threat of environmental crisis will be the international disaster key to unlock the new world order." Well, remember, if you listen to an evil person long enough, they'll tell you exactly what they are up to. Let's hear that again. And look, Mikhail Gorbachev is probably one of my favorite communists, if I'm going to have a favorite communist. And I'm not trying to just totally dump on Mikhail Gorbachev. He obviously worked with Reagan, but he was also at the mercy of history that was against him at the time. He would not have relinquished communism. He would not have allowed more democratic rule in the Soviet Union, kind of open the floodgates if he didn't have to. So on the one hand, I like Mikhail Gorbachev because as someone of that ideology, to break out of that ideology on some level, to be able to work with a free country, I think is admirable in some respects, but also in another respect, I think he was kind of forced to do that. But I'm going to read that quote again. The threat of environmental crisis will be the international disaster key to unlock the new world order. He was underscoring the importance of advancing Marxist objectives by creating an emergency to convince people they must surrender freedom to be safe. That idea has been parlayed over the decades into a global campaign of the left to control vibrant economies, end individual freedom and national sovereignties, and impoverish the world. In America, it is being served up as the Green New Deal. Arthur Mark Morano exposes that elaborate con game and green fraud, why the Green New Deal is even worse than you think. Morano is a former senior staff member of the Senate Environment and Public Works Committee and narrator of the film Climate Hustle. His book shows how the Green New Deal, which dovetails with the UN's Agenda 21, has nothing to do with saving the planet and is actually about, quote, transforming modern America into a centrally planned and managed society and imposing an ideology that will rein in the freedoms of individual Americans. And if you think that's just far-fetched, if you think that's just over the top, we're going to get to some quotes here that are just, it's amazing. It's truly amazing what they're saying about this. I mean, that, in 1991, George Bush, it was George H.W. Bush who first really brought to popularity the term the New World Order. It's actually, the term New World Order is actually on the back of the dollar bill. If you look at the Latin around one of the symbols, it says like annuitus conceptus novus order seclorum, which means announcing the conception of the New World Order. So, of course, I liked the new American order with the Constitution of the United States. However, when you look at it from a global perspective, it of course is a bit more alarming. So Morano quotes in his book Saikat Chakrabarty, former chief of staff to Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, as saying, quote, "We really think of it as a how do you change the entire economy thing? Like, you know, like if we're going to like change the entire economy, like how would you do that? We'll do this like seventh grade wish list science fair project and get A pluses from our teachers because we say everything that our socialist teachers want to hear." And he cites Cortez's campaign aide, Waleed Shahid, explaining the GND as, quote, "a proposal to redistribute wealth and power from people on top to the people at the bottom." For an agenda so ambitious, the name ironically draws from FDR's failed New Deal of the 1930s, a massive program that expanded the size and scope of the federal government to stimulate an economic recovery but ended up prolonging the Great Depression, as we mentioned a few minutes ago. Again, just look up the numbers yourself. Look up the unemployment numbers yourself. The prognosis for the Green New Deal, which includes components like universal health care, guaranteed annual income, affordable housing, clear water and air projects, and special social and racial justice goals, is worse. Says David Ridendour, president of the National Center for Public Policy Research, quote, "To reach zero net carbon emissions in 10 years, the government would regulate and ultimately prohibit the use of affordable energy sources. This would trigger a massive decline in industrial productivity and result in mass layoffs." Look, good luck in 10 years powering the world off of wind and solar. We're gonna get to why that is the case in just a second. But it would be the poor, especially, who are unable to get pretty important things such as heat in the winter, cool in the brutal summers. California can't even keep the energy on all the time now with the abundance of fossil fuels that they're using. G- good luck in 10 years doing it on wind and solar. It's unreal. In truth, the Green New Deal is an all-encompassing attack on capitalism. All right, and that's what they talk about with the Great Reset. If you look it up on the World Economic Forum, it is the Great Reset of capitalism. All-encompassing attack on capitalism, wealth creation, and freedom. It's a vehicle for a, quote, fundamental transformation of our constitutional republic. So, and we see that going on, an attempt to go on right now. And if there is, look, if there is a full, if there is a full reset of our constitutional republic, in which it will no longer be a constitutional republic, Second Amendment would probably be the first to go, followed pretty quickly by the First Amendment, and even shows like mine and others would simply be illegal, because freedom of speech does not happen under communist and socialist rules. They've been trying to, they've been attacking freedom of speech for a long time, trying to implement hate speech laws, and they've been unsuccessful so far. But with a full communist takeover of our country, then they could pretty easily do that. I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. We don't know what's going to happen. Again, unless you've got a direct line to God somehow, you don't know. We don't know. But you know, things right now, the trajectory are looking like that. But we'll see. Again, it's very important to pray for Manchin, pray for Sinema, that they hold strong on the filibuster and don't give that up. Because if they give that up, and the Democrats can basically pass any and all legislation, not just financial, but any and all legislation by a 51-vote majority, we essentially have Kamala Harris ruling the world with a tie-breaking vote every time. So definitely something to watch there. But get this. So it's all-encompassing attack on capitalism, wealth creation, and freedom. It's a vehicle for, quote, fundamental transformation of our constitutional republic. The list of non-climate issues tagged onto so-called green goals is ludicrous. Get this. Income inequality. Okay, what does that have to do with the environment? Racial wealth divide. Okay. Gender earnings gap. Ad infinitum, ad nauseum. Income inequality. Racial wealth divide. Gender earnings gap. These things are apparently warming the planet. Ocasio-Cortez even believes 100% renewable energy will lead to, quote, economic, social, and racial justice in America. Uh-huh. This is the same lady who said, if we don't do something in 12 years, we're like all going to die. Why would we believe a single word that she says? I don't like to insult people on this show. I don't like to insult people's intellect. So I'm going to hold off on that. But this is not the person. I think we as citizens can look at people and we can judge their intellect, judge their knowledge base, and go, this is not somebody that I want calling the shots for my country. Meat eating isn't spared. The Green New Deal proposes to end meat eating in line with UN climate advisor's suggestion that meat eaters be ostracized, like smokers, and meat prices wildly inflated to discourage consumption. Why? Why, you ask? Why is meat so terrible for the environment and going to cause the planet to melt? I'm glad you asked. Flatulent cows and sheep. Don't forget the sheep. Cow farts and sheep farts flood the atmosphere with climate-changing methane. As if these animals haven't been around for a long time doing these sorts of activities. It's as if cows and sheep just started farting in the 20th century. Who knew? To get to, quote, net zero emissions by 2050, Green New Deal proponents want to eliminate private vehicles, home ownership, we'll get back to that in a second, and air travel. They also want to ban new roads, fossil fuel production, and nuclear power. These will be achieved through draconian taxes and regulations that advance the left's depopulation and deindustrialization agenda. You'll own nothing, and you'll be happy. Oh, really? Thank you. Thank you for informing me of that. Who said that? Oh, yes. The Great Reset, ladies and gentlemen, is not a conspiracy theory. It is conspiracy fact. Look it up. You'll own nothing and you'll be happy. Look up the Great Reset, World Economic Forum. They're not hiding in the shadows. It's right there. This is globalism on mega steroids. It is every totalitarian's dream. They want complete and total control. They don't want America to be a free superpower. They want America to be one of many nations subservient to the UN and World Economic Forum Great Reset Agenda 21 goal. That's it. They are not fans of the U.S. Constitution. And in fact, we are, I guess we're the worst racists and slaveholders ever in the history of ever, even though there are many countries where slavery is practiced today. They love China, who has blatant slavery of the Uyghur Muslims and blatant human rights abuses, than America, who actually tries to hold to some basic human rights. That's who these people are, and we can talk about this another day, but Klaus Schwab, who is the head of the Great Reset, good friend of mine, sent me a pretty lengthy article on this, on his family ties to the Nazis. Yeah, Klaus Schwab, the guy at the World Economic Forum right now. These people are leftist totalitarian clowns. And they want to, look, your freedom is not their agenda. Their agenda is complete global dominance and totalitarianism. But that's what the World Economic Forum said. It comes out, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. Let's flesh this out for a second. So they tell us, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy. Okay, so I'm not going to own anything. Well, somebody's going to own everything. Now, who would that be? Of course, that would be the elites. That would be the mega corporations and the mega global institutions and governments. They will own everything. But wait a minute. If not owning anything makes you happy, isn't now all of you totalitarians owning everything? Aren't you essentially creating for yourself a state of affairs in which you're completely unhappy? Interesting. So owning nothing leads to happiness, yet you want to own everything. So you want complete misery for yourself? You're inviting complete and total misery on yourself by owning everything? Of course not. Of course not. It's propaganda. And if you look at the model that they have, the smiley face that they have, where their text reads, you'll own nothing and you'll be happy, that guy's not smiling because he doesn't own anything. He's smiling because he's a model and he's getting paid to have that picture taken. It is propaganda to the max. And they think we're stupid enough to fall for it. And the sad part is that many of us will. It doesn't take a genius to flesh that out logically. Someone with a basic IQ can accomplish that. But we've been so trained, we've been so programmed to believe whatever comes across our TV screens, which is why they have the COVID death counts up there. That is propaganda to put you in fear and make you obedient to whatever King Fauci at the CDC has to say. And his latest is a piece of work that we'll get to in just a second. But I want to finish this. Shorn of environmental hysterics and the accompanying litany of socialist solutions, massive government intervention, population control, wealth redistribution, income restructuring, and limits to national sovereignty, The Green New Deal is an onslaught on the very American spirit of freedom, innovation, and creativity that leads to prosperity. It's well known that prosperous countries do a better job preserving the environment and providing efficient health care and cleaner air and water to their people. Look at the United States versus every socialist country in the world. I mean, China is the biggest polluter of all. Who's doing better? Socialist Venezuela or capitalist America? Who's doing better? Socialist Cuba or capitalist America? And the list goes on and on. So no, socialism has never worked. They say, well, we haven't tried Democrat socialism. Yes, we have. It's called the National Socialist Party that came to power in 1933 Germany, which amazingly, there are quite a few parallels with 2020 and 2021 America that we should be very careful of. Now, thankfully for us, conditions are a little different. Hitler had simply one state to control. The communists in Washington, D.C. have 50 states that they're trying to control. We have a federalist system. The founders set up so many stinking checks on totalitarianism. It's amazing. And we are incredibly blessed to be in the system that we are. I can't predict the future. I don't know what's going to happen. I'm optimistic about our nation. I am. Maybe I'll do another show on why I am. There's even if you look at places like Europe, even in South America, I know Ecuador, a conservative, just won the presidency there in Ecuador. Peru is going into a runoff. I know that in Poland, Hungary, and Italy, all conservative governments, they recently just met in order to form a party in the European Union Parliament to promote national populism and a returning of their countries to Christian civilization. And I know I know things are tough in the UK, but I know there's strong sentiment there as well that Europe is not simply just laying down anymore to this threat that is there, specifically through Islamic immigration into that country, threatening to turn Europe into Islamo-Europe. It's crazy, and they're attempting to protect their civilization. So I'm not completely in dismay about the world, even though there yes, of course there is a lot of bad news, but there is good news out there as well if we pay attention. And I want to end this article with this, then we'll move on. In Green Fraud, Morano tallies the astronomical cost of the Green New Deal's fossil fuel phase-out, predicted on the false premise that fossil fuels are a cost rather than a net benefit to society. According to the Competitive Enterprise Institute, a libertarian think tank, phasing out fossil fuels and regulating how electricity is produced will cost the average household $75,000 annually. Look, they don't care, because the ultimate goal is power. And as Mikhail Gorbachev said back in 1996, the threat of environmental crisis will be the international disaster key to unlock the new world order. Sorry. The threat of environmental crisis will be the international disaster key to unlock the new world order. That's amazing. So it's going to cost each household $75,000 annually, according to the Competitive Enterprise Institute. It will also result in steep economic depression and massive increase in land use for no meaningful climate benefit. The Institute calls the GND a Back to the Dark Ages manifesto and has released a series of educational videos on the GND's heavy-handed regulations. Now think about it. I'll end with this, and then I'll say what I was going to say. According to the Statistical Review of World Energy 2019 by British Petroleum, oil, coal, and gas constitute 85% of the world's energy consumption, while wind and solar represent 3%. You got wind and solar representing 3% as of a 2019 Statistical Review of World Energy study, 3% versus 85%. And in 10 years, we're going to be completely on wind and solar? I don't think so. And that leads me to, look, if in California, they want all electric cars by 2035. Only electric cars sold in California. When they can't even keep the lights on now, with around 85% of their energy coming from fossil fuels. That's going to hurt the poor, who are not going to have things like cold, like air conditioning in the summer, and heat in the winter. So I know we spent a lot of time on that, but the Great Reset is something I've been wanting to spend more time on and pay more attention to here, because that really is what is driving everything that is going on. The Great Reset is simply, I think in its most basic understanding, it is a new globalist order. Yes, you still have countries, but we are all submissive and we are all subservient to this global body, the UN, the World Economic Forum, and the likes that we are ultimately submitted to, which that has dire consequences. If our soldiers get tried in something like the International Criminal Court, which I know the left is a fan of, I'm sorry, these people do not have our best interests at heart. They do not have our values. All right, I wanted to get to this. The Taylor Force Act, if you guys remember, it was signed into law in 2018 by Trump. It prohibits taxpayer dollars to be used to economically support the Palestinian Authority, while it continues to pay jailed terrorists or families of deceased terrorists. I mean, if you can imagine, if you maim some Jews or if you kill some Jews, your family gets a pension for life from the Palestinian Authority. That is just proof positive right there. This is a terrible, diabolical group that should not receive a dime of taxpayer money. Now, in the Taylor Force Act, which of course is named after Taylor Force, who was a native of Lubbock, Texas. He graduated from the New Mexico Military Institute and then West Point in 2009, served tours in Afghanistan and Iraq. After completing his service, Taylor entered the Owen Graduate School of Management at Vanderbilt University to study for an MBA. He was murdered in 2016 in Israel by a Palestinian terrorist. At the time of his murder, he was visiting Israel as part of a Vanderbilt study group examining global entrepreneurship. Hardly a threat to anybody. He served his time, and now he was going to enjoy the fruits of his labor. He was getting an MBA, probably planning on living a pretty good life until a Palestinian terrorist snuffed that away from him. And that's what the act is named out of. And in the Taylor Force Act of 2018, resumption of aid to the Palestinian Authority was not allowed until they stopped this insanity. It's pretty reasonable. I mean, how do you argue against the idea that we should not support an organization that rewards terrorists for their atrocities? It's insane. But yet, the Biden administration is more than happy to resume aid to them. And of course, Ted Cruz thankfully had some words for him. Ted Cruz, this is from bizpacreview.com. Americans will die because Biden is sending $250 million in taxpayer funds to Palestinians. U.S. Senator Ted Cruz slammed the Biden administration for policies that provide, quote, rewards for terrorists and their families after a decision to send millions of dollars to Palestinians. The Texas Republican reacted to last week's announcement by the State Department that despite a 2018 law that prevents it, the administration would be supporting Palestinians with $250 million in payments. Cruz warned that Americans will die as a result. Quote, in 2019, the Palestinian Authority expressed its intention to spend $342.6 million on rewards for terrorists and their families. We're not talking about a few dollars here and there, the senator told Sirius XM's Breitbart News Sunday host Joel Pollack. Quote, and now with Joe Biden's decision, a significant chunk of that $342 million is going to have to come from you and me. We're sending American taxpayer funds to the PA so they can fund terrorists. And as a result of Joe Biden's decisions, Americans will die. Israelis will die. This money that Joe Biden is sending to terrorists will be used to commit more acts of terrorism, to incentivize terrorists, to murder women, to murder children. Joe Biden decided that funding terrorists who kill Americans, apparently, is a good idea. Now, what people will come back and say is they'll say, well, we need to get aid to the Palestinians for coronavirus, for humanitarian aid and relief and all this. Well, the thing is that that is already included in the Taylor Force Act of 2018. They actually already can do that. There is a provision. There is an exception for humanitarian aid. But that this is just going to the general Palestinian Authority, and we know they do not hide. I have spoken about this very thing here on this show all the way back to 2019, the first year of this show, that it's out. It's blatant. They don't deny it. They support terrorists with their funds. Of course, they call it all kinds of propaganda, like freedom fighters and so forth. And actually, Israel News Talk Radio in Israel was formed because people would be visiting from Israel or from outside the country visiting Israel would turn on their radio and hear the Palestinian Authority has, the Palestinians have, are celebrating their freedom fighters and their fight against the occupiers and the oppressors. I mean, that's what people would hear. So they actually had to form a quote conservative news talk station in order to be able to combat that ridiculousness. So that's what's going on. We'll of course be keeping an eye on that, but resuming aid to the PA is a bad idea. And look, I hope we all have compassion on the Palestinian people because they really are under the oppression of terrible, terrible leadership that needs to change. I think that Trump's peace to prosperity plan was a potentially good solution where you could give the Palestinians, quote, a state, while at the same time not giving them military by which they could then turn and attack the Jewish people with. They could have a police force but not a military. The Israeli military would be in charge of, still be in charge of Judea and Samaria, or as the Palestinians call it, the West Bank. The Israeli military would still have been in charge of Gaza. It seemed like the best possible solution of giving them a quote state without actually giving them that land, because you essentially, what you cannot have is the Palestinians coming back together with the population of Israel, and then Jews are a permanent minority in their own country, and that does not work out well for the Jews. And we know that now historically. If we ever knew it. We know things that they did not know in the 1930s, that they did not know in the 1920s. But if we don't learn from history, we are doomed to repeat it. And we, of course, don't want to do that. Oh, and not only this, I saw this, CNSnews.com, Coalition for Jewish Values, 1,500-plus rabbis warn that Biden administration is funding terrorism. And this article is partly redundant from what I've been talking about, but I wanted to mention something that they're going to resume funding of the UNRWA, that is the UN Relief and Workers Agency. Now, what is the problem with the UNRWA? Well, this article says here, this was Rabbi Stephen Przanski, I believe. He added that the U.S. is, quote, resuming. No, I'm sorry. This is Secretary Blinken. Secretary Blinken saying he added that the U.S. is resuming support for UNRWA services, including education for over 500,000 Palestinian boys and girls. Oh, well, that's wonderful. Who would ever be against education? We love education. I mean, don't you want your children to be educated? And by not funding the UNRWA, you are preventing young, beautiful children from receiving education. Stand by. thereby providing hope and stability in UNRWA's 5 fields of operation in Lebanon, Jordan, Syria, and the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. Who could be against educating these precious children across these countries? However, CJV noted that, quote, the UNRWA was forced to admit earlier this year that its, quote, educational materials, including math textbooks, encouraged suicide bombings and other acts of terrorism. You know that there were still schools in Nazi Germany. There were still schools in communist Russia under Lenin, under Stalin. There were still schools. There were still schools under Chairman Mao in China and currently under Xi Jinping in China. Not all education in and of itself does not equal good. It's the kind of education. It is what and how you are teaching that determines whether an education is good or not. But they just use the term education. And UNRWA's own materials were promoting terrorism, and they provide links to that in this article up at cgm.news. Also, on, quote, multiple occasions during earlier conflicts, its schools were used as storage sites and launch facilities for missile attacks against Israeli civilians, incriminating UNRWA itself in war crimes. So we are resuming support, not just for the Palestinian Authority, which itself is a terrorist organization, but from a terrorist educational and aiding and abetting institution, the UNRWA. There's no excuse. It's a disgrace. It's a shame. It's a sham. Nobody likes the situation that the Palestinians are in right now, but it really is an issue of their own creation. They have kept the Palestinians in these refugee camps in places like Jordan, and instead of absorbing them into society, they simply stay in these camps on this vain promise of this right of return, that will likely never come because Israel is not going to allow it. So they use these people as political pawns. And when I talk about the people, I'm talking about the leadership. I'm not talking about the people. Within the people themselves, I know a lot of Palestinians would much rather live in Israel under Jewish leadership than under their own leadership, than under Abbas and the goons there. Even though, as we've talked about a little bit on this show, Bob Siegel did a show on it a few weeks ago, we are seeing totalitarianism in Israel like we've never seen with the invention of their COVID green passport, by which they are also exporting that totalitarianism to the world. Look, I love the Jewish people, and I always will. But if the state of Israel is turning into this Orwellian nightmare, I will not, and I cannot support it. Now, at the same time, I don't want it to be destroyed either, because I don't want the Jewish people to be destroyed. But this is a terrible, terrible thing. I received an email recently from a friend of mine who lives in Israel, who basically, he said it's really bad. If you don't get the COVID shot, it is really, really bad over there, and life makes it really, really difficult. And he said that many experts have warned that people are going to die from this thing. We know that people have already died from this thing. And yet you have to have a COVID passport to basically engage in daily life, and that's a problem. So look, hey, the Bible says it, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Psalm 122:6, but that doesn't mean that they're not channeling their inner totalitarians themselves. All right, and speaking of Israel, there's another article. As you may be aware, the Natanz underground site, nuclear site. Natanz is in northwest Iran. It's about 200 miles south of Tehran. And there was a blackout at this site. Basically, a quote, secret site where they're developing nuclear weapons. We know that Iran never had any intention of abiding by the JCPOA. They're trying to bring us back into it now, which I'm sure they'll be successful in doing that. But which will, again, we're trying to aid and abet the terrorist nation of the Palestinian Authority. Now we're going to aid and abet the terrorist state of Iran, because we're going to once again flood them with hundreds of billions of dollars in relief. It's going to prop up the Ayatollahs, and they're going to do what terrorists do, which is fund terrorism and create havoc. And again, because of the JCPOA, people are going to die. Whereas the maximum pressure campaign that Trump was promoting against Iran was something that could eventually cause the regime to collapse, and we could see a return, which is what the Iranian people want, a return to a more free and just society. Instead, we're going to send them billions and billions of dollars to prop up this terror regime that they will then, of course, use to spread terrorism. Of course, the Biden administration is not going to say that. This is supposedly going to stop them from creating nuclear weapons. But once again, they're not going to be able to, these inspectors are not going to be able to inspect all of the sites that they need to inspect to determine that they're not doing this, that they're not creating nuclear weapons. So Israel's taking matter into their own hands. And it looks like at this point it's an open secret that it was the Israeli government that took out, that somehow shorted out all the energy from this nuclear site. So you can read about that up at cgm.news. A lot going on. Of course, we're monitoring the Russian aggression against Ukraine. I think this is from Reuters. Quote, there will be consequences. U.S. warns Russia against aggression in Ukraine. This is Secretary of State Blinken said, quote, I have to tell you, I have real concerns about Russia's actions on the borders of Ukraine. Blinken told NBC's Meet the Press. That's why we're in very close contact and close coordination with our allies and partners in Europe. All of us share that concern. Quote, President Biden's been very clear about this. If Russia acts recklessly or aggressively, there will be costs. There will be consequences. We'll see. We'll see. Remember, it was Obama who on the hot mic told the Russian ambassador, I'll have more flexibility after the election. We'll revisit it then. This is the faux outrage of the left toward Russia is very unconvincing. Very unconvincing. When, if we remember, it was Hillary Clinton who gave 20% of our uranium to Russia. So they don't have a problem working with Russia. They're just the big boogeyman that they can use to attempt to slam Trump, slam Republicans, and gain power. That's ultimately what it's all about. All right, so we got to get to this. Anthony Fauci is, few words can describe this man. He is truly a I don't know what you call a medical dictator, scientific dictator, totalitarian dictator. I mean, he's contradicted himself more times than we can count. And it was really telling when not long ago he came out and said that even Americans who get the vaccine still need to wear masks, and preferably two masks, right? Because, you know, logically speaking, if one mask worked, then surely two masks work. Well, that's actually not science. That's not how science is conducted. And I'm not even a scientist. And I know that you, of course, would have to test that and observe that and repeat that and go through the scientific method to figure that out. We all learn in grade school. Just add a second mask. Just because of ultra wokeness. Just because it's cool. Just because I say so. And I'm Anthony Fauci, that I've been a bureaucrat in Washington for 8 million years. And so I must know what I'm talking about, even though I don't actually practice medicine. But this was rich. Dr. Fauci, the unelected bureaucrat who destroyed small businesses in America with lies about COVID, claimed fully vaccinated people cannot eat or drink indoors. Yes, fully vaccinated people, ladies and gentlemen, cannot eat or drink indoors. Last week, Fauci was caught flat-footed when confronted about Texas cases dropping despite being fully open for a month. So he just said, quote, "It can be confusing because often you have to wait a few weeks before you see the effect. I'm not really quite sure. It could be they're doing things outdoors." Right. Thanks for that one, Fauci. Fauci admitted he has no idea what he's talking about. This is from the Gateway Pundit, by the way. Now he's claiming fully vaccinated Americans can't eat or drink indoors. Fauci made this claim after the CDC director said, data suggests fully vaccinated people don't carry COVID-19. So if you have the CDC director coming out and saying fully vaccinated people don't carry COVID-19, okay, well, then there's no worry about those people spreading COVID-19 through their mouth or through their nose. No need for a mask, right? No, not at all. Fauci says, quote, "It's still not okay for vaccinated Americans to eat or drink indoors." Dr. Fauci, you can go pound sand. No, we don't trust you. We don't like you. Of course, as a Christian, I am called to love all people. And I love Dr. Fauci. I love Joe Biden. I love Kamala Harris. And what I mean by that is I want God's absolute best for them. Don't have any hatred in my heart for Fauci or any of them. In fact, I pray for them. However, there must be a strong response to this. Both things can be true. You can show the love of Christ to people while at the same time calling out their tyranny and their insanity. Rand Paul called Fauci a petty tyrant and encourage people who have recovered from COVID or been vaccinated to go out and enjoy their lives. This is from at Rand Paul on Twitter. He says, Fauci continues to ignore 100 years of vaccine science. His only real theme is, quote, "do what I say, even when it makes no sense. If you've recovered or been vaccinated, go about your life. Eat, drink, work, open the schools. Enough with the petty tyrants." Enough with the petty tyrants. And that's what we have to say individually. Enough with the petty tyrants. You know, I saw a meme. I don't put a whole lot of stock in memes, but you and I both know sometimes memes are really good. And one of the memes I saw recently was, if you ever wondered how you would respond if you lived in 1933 Germany, now you know. Because 1933 Germany, the year that Hitler came to power, was a year that Germans, for the first time in their lives, who lived very peacefully under the German kings, the German Kaisers, the Christian German kings, now had to make a decision. And you had and especially with Christians, you had the distinction between the confessing church led by Dietrich Bonhoeffer and the German Christians, who basically just changed their theology to fit the evil Aryan, blonde-haired, blue-eyed supremacy doctrine, to fit Nazi ideology in hopes of being spared from Hitler's wrath. And again, like I said earlier, we're in a bit of a different situation, but at the same time, you know, because of our federalist system, but at the same time, we still have a choice to make. And it's a choice we have to make each and every day. All right, guys, well, that will do it for this week's edition of World News Brief. Thank you all so much for joining us. Make sure to check us out online, cgmradio.com, cgm.news, for all of the articles and more mentioned in today's broadcast. Email me, world@cgmradio.com, with questions, comments, thoughts, challenges, or pretty much anything you would like. And may His kingdom come and His will be done on earth as it is in heaven.